Coles back to throw, getting some pressure. Black comes in, and the ball is picked off by Eric Rowe, who jumped in front of Westbrook with a diving interception at the 47-yard line. Back to throw Fitzpatrick, throws another out route to his tight end. O'Leary breaks a tackle down the far sideline, and he's close to the first down marker. Nice run by O'Leary. Cody Davis finally dropped him.
How about speaking of tight end? That's the way you do it. Stayed in bounds.
That's a first down. Third quarter, 7-6 Jack. Thumps it out long to catch and a touchdown. Fitzpatrick had to get rid of it under pressure, put it out in front. Walt made the nice catch, turned around and walked into the end zone. Going downfield, he throws it, and a nice throw completion to Isaiah Ford. What a throw.
He had a guy open on the first here at about 10 yards, and he throws. Give me, that's the best throw he's made this preseason on the run. I mean, he put it out in front of Isaiah Ford. What a catch.
39-yard reception. What a throw on the run by Rosen.
A case could also be made that the younger guy's not ready. And I understand that thought process. You know, I'm the one dealing with the individual player. And sometimes guys just aren't ready. You know, the whole sink or swim mentality, you know, it's easy for somebody on the outside to say, but, you know, for that individual player and the best interest of that individual person, that might not be the case. If a guy's ready, we put him out there. If he's not, we won't put him out there. And I think that's the right way to approach it.
Well, I got 99 problems. Now that I'm going to be doing that all morning now. I got 99 problems.
But
Josh Rosen doesn't, because he went 99 right. yards.
Josh Rosen ain't one. I could list a couple other problems they probably have.
Yeah. Offensive line.
There's
I
one.
Got 99 problems.
And offensive line is one.
Boy, they got.
I mean, come on. Unless you just want to say how great a rookie was on the other side of the ball, because that kid, the 7th overall pick out of Kentucky. Josh Allen?
Yeah.
The quarterback Josh Allen, but the defensive end?
He was.
Holy moly.
He was something good.
Right.
He got after it last night. Yeah, he is. We'll talk about him later, but yeah, Jesse Davis probably glad to see him leave last night. A lot of stuff to get to with the Dolphins' third preseason game, and it was a bit of a snoozer there in the first half. Not what you wanted. We got all kinds of stuff. If you haven't heard, after the game, Brian Flores, we'll play that in a little while, his press conference, got into the Jay-Z song stuff and talked about Kenny Stills and everything around Kenny Stills and playing all those songs and why and all that stuff. If you missed it, it was late last night, and we're going to have that for you coming up here in just a few minutes. Josh Rosen did have a 99-yard drive when he came in. I'm thinking, my God, the guy's coming in. He's backed up after a penalty on the 1-yard line and takes the team down the field. Had some nice throws. Boy, I'll tell you, he made the throw, as I said during the game last night, best throw he's made on the run, which, by the way, both quarterbacks, in fairness to him, were both on the run or getting hit every time they threw it, Ryan Fitzpatrick and Josh Rosen. Of course, now everybody's going to say, and I understand it, hey, Josh Rosen picked it up last night. Yes, he did. Made a couple nice runs and made a couple of nice throws to get away. Last night, half the story is those guys being able to get away from guys that were rushing them, either blitzers or linebackers or the defensive linemen, and being able to keep the play alive and make a throw. That's part of that story last night. And so we'll see what's going to happen. But all of a sudden, I thought before the game, Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to be the starter. But now it's they'll probably have to look at it a little bit and decide overall, because – thought Josh Rosen got better. Now, he didn't play against the same guys Ryan Fitzpatrick played against, which is a different situation because those horses on that front, I mean, you say whatever you want. It's one thing to play against one group and then you play against another group and not have Campbell and that unbelievable rookie they have out of Kentucky on the other side. And that's a whole different ball game with those guys out there, and you're running for your life, and they got good linebackers and everything else, but I'm curious to see. We'll jump into it and find out what everybody's thinking. I'm guessing a lot of people are just at this point like, hey, you got to give it to Josh Rosen for what he did last night. Both guys, didn't matter who was playing, they were both running around and feeling pressure and trying to keep plays alive and find it. And I didn't think they got a lot of help from the receivers last night as well, the adjustments and that little love affair we had with the guy that was such a great story here last night. He kind of got the start, but he didn't do much.
No,
and so it wasn't great. Got a great release on a play and didn't make an adjustment to the ball on his outside shoulder, Preston Williams. So he's cooled off a little bit. I know they're still high on him. He's going to be on the team. But it was still a tease from what we saw in that first preseason
game. Oh,
come
on. First preseason game, he's the number one wide receiver.
You got to catch the ball on the sideline. And so that was like four drops in a row at that point in two games. And dropped a punt last night as well. So they're going to have to be patient. I still think he's got a chance to be really, really good and get his confidence back and everything else. But, yeah, so we had all kinds of crazy stuff last night with that. And what's going to happen? As I said before, the other story last night, a little bit of a surprise when Brian Flores is asked about, the team and stuff and everything else. And Brian Flores took time, actually a couple of minutes, to talk about all the Jay-Z songs at practice and why they were played.
After the playlist was done, I walked up to Kenny in front of the entire group and said, "This is a challenge to you to get open, catch the football, and make plays for this team, regardless of what's going on outside of this building." The next day, because there was a lot more attention paid to this than I ever would have imagined, I got up in front of the team and I told them, "I support Kenny. I support, the player protests. They're bringing attention to my story. I'm the son of immigrants. I'm black. I grew up poor. I grew up in New York during the stop and frisk era. So I've been stopped because I fit a description before. So everything that these guys protest, I've lived it. I've experienced it. Whether it's Kaepernick or Eric Reed or Kenny, I applaud those guys. And I told Kenny that in our meeting in front of the entire team. What these guys protest about is important. I lived it, fellas. I experienced it. I don't know how many people have, but I lived it. So I understand why guys protest. And it's important. But you know what else is important to me? That guys performed it. Like, there's 89 guys in that locker room who are counting on Kenny to get open, catch the football, and perform for this team. That's important to me. And if anybody's got a problem with that, then we just got a problem. We're going to agree to disagree. And I feel like that's important, and that's where I stand on this thing. Whatever scrutiny or media, whatever I get, then that's what I get. I believe, and that's it. The player protest, I lived it. I don't know how many people in here have, but I lived it. So that's where I'm at on that. It was a challenge to Kenny to perform regardless of whatever's going on outside. And, I've said this to him. He hasn't performed up to that level over the course of this training camp as I've seen him. So that was the challenge. I stand because I want to stand. I feel like it's important to stand. I do. I feel like it's important to stand. I don't know what you want me to say on this one. I think it's important to stand.
Wow. Very powerful stuff.
Strong stuff by Coach, yes.
By the head coach, Brian Flores, last night. Kenny Stills, he feels, and I didn't know for sure, but it's got to affect you when Kenny Stills is protesting the stuff that he says he's been getting, death threats and people calling him the N-word and people getting after him. It's got to affect you. Nobody can go, that stuff doesn't bother me. I know how our fan base feels or the rest of the NFL. I'm going to block it out. I'm one of just there's just a couple of us that are kneeling and continue with this thing. I mean, when you get out on an island like that and so the coach is sitting there watching, all right, I'm going to watch Kenny. Ooh, this is not the Kenny Stills that I see. Say, Kenny, here's the deal. So I'm going to give you both sides of this. I'm going to give the whole team both sides of this. So there's no surprises on what that was about for everybody. I was a little surprised, though, that the coach didn't realize Brian Flores, it was going to be a big story.
I mean, that's the craziest part of the whole story. I understand what Coach Flores said about everything. He lived it. He went through it. And I'm okay with it. I understand it. Like, the society we live in right now, there's, you could look at Kenny Stills, the story behind the Kaepernick and Eric Reed, and you can understand why guys would do that. What I don't understand, what was a dumb move by Coach Flores, was to try to troll Kenny in practice like this and not think this would make national attention.
Well, he could do it.
It's a dumb move by Flores.
He could do it, but he needed to understand that, like, hey, let me see, Commissioner, Jay-Z,
right,
all the back and forth with Jay-Z, whether people were for it or against it, what Jay-Z's game plan is, and we trust Jay-Z that he knows what he's doing, or Jay-Z's in it for the money, and so whatever you were on, and we've heard a bunch of guys go back and forth, and Omar talked about it a little bit the other day, but the coach kind of, yeah. So he had to address it. I mean, it was one of the top stories. You're bringing in somebody like Jay-Z and the commissioner of the NFL and the new partnership and Kenny Stills recently with the owner of the Miami Dolphins, Stephen Ross. So I thought Brian Flores did an unbelievable job saying, okay, I'm with everything, but I got a job to do, and you got a job to do here, and we ain't going to let it get in the way. So whatever you do in your own time and stuff, if you can handle it, good. But if you can't and it affects you, and Kenny, right now, it's affecting you. You're not the same guy, and it's not physical. It's about everything else. And if it's stressing you and you're in here talking about stuff on social media you're getting and you can't handle it, then and know you're going to get it. Anytime you do it and you take a stance like this, which I'm all for it, and I agree as a head coach, and I've lived it, you know, honestly, coach pretty much said, listen, man, you guys say whatever you want. I've lived it probably a lot more than a lot of you other guys have. So it's back and forth. But, man, I thought last night you talk about jumping in your car and getting to wait to hear the coach break down the offensive yes. line and quarterback play and who looked good and special teams tackles being made by guys and all the guys that stood out and what needs to get better. And I felt like we got better tonight and, you know, all the things a coach could bring up, good or bad, in that thing. And he goes, by the way, let's take care of this other thing here real quickly. He's a straight shooter. One thing about Coach Flores, he is a straight shooter. And
but it wasn't well thought out if he didn't think this would bring national attention.
Well, he did say, like, that's why I got to talk about it now. I didn't realize this thing was going to blow up. And
I mean, it blew up nationally, and not all my just guys, sports stuff, yes.
And everybody in the family and everybody else said, hey, Coach, you're kind of a story here with all those Jay-Z songs. All your favorites or whoever's favorites. And then we all kind of wondered, like, wow, was that a shot? Or was that, like, and so he made it clear. So, but by taking care of it last night, it puts it to sleep. Whether you agree with it, you don't agree with it, it just puts everything to bed. Anyway, we got a lot more stuff to get to. Apparently, things weren't so good up in Canada last night for the Raiders and Packers. We'll come back.
God.
We'll have that story. And, of course, we didn't forget about the big game tomorrow night. Can you believe it? Tomorrow night.
Thank goodness.
Florida and Miami. We can stop talking about matchups and everything else and play a little football. Kick off the college football season. We'll have a lot more on that, including Dan Morgan from the Buffalo Bills, Dan Morgan.
That's weird to say that,
the
right?
The great linebacker. Yeah, it is. He's going to join us later in the show. We'll get you caught up on everything. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Well, I know you're excited because I'm excited. But this is exactly why you came to University of Miami. These kind of weeks, these kind of games, and there's no doubt in my mind, I know this coaching staff, no doubt in my mind you'll be prepared. There's no doubt in my mind that you're in condition. 16 110s, 33 110s, practicing the way you practice in this heat. So you're in condition, you're going to be prepared. If I've got one thing to tell you, it's to play smart. That's the key to winning. Play smart. It's what you put in your mind. There's no doubt in my mind. I don't know what's going to happen. You know better than I do. But I do know what you're accomplishing here. And this team's going to get better and better and better. Because I know who's leading you. I know the type of people you have. I know the program that we have. You're going to get better and better and better. And when something bad happens, you're going to say, press on. And something good happens, you're going to say, hey, let's roll. Let's roll. Guys, I am with you 100% every single day. I'm pulling for you just like millions of other people. Have a great year. Thank you for letting me talk to you. Okay, on three, we're going to say win. One, two, three, win!
All right, that was Jimmy Johnson, and man, old Jimmy.
Wow.
Jimmy getting after it, man. Jimmy all in on his, and he was at the game last night with all the Fox guys there as they were warming up for the Super Bowl, getting everything in place. But,
literally warming up.
But I will tell you, Jimmy gave one of those $50,000 specials, man. He does for corporate America, getting all fired up and talking to the team. He and Manny Diaz of all the coaches. And very, very close, man. He's really reached out to him as a huge Jimmy Johnson fan and everything. So that that came out. We knew he stopped by, told us he's going to stop by, but talking to the team about believing and getting after it, and I support you and got everybody else. I'm down in the Keys watching you, and I'm out in L.A. watching you with everybody else. So anyway, we got this game finally here.
Finally.
So we don't have to break down the experience at quarterback or lack of experience or who's got the better offensive line with so many new guys and defensively and new positions and everything else. And
kick the ball off and get this game started already.
Well, we will. And so we've got we still have a few more hours to get going on it. Don Bailey Jr. is going to talk to us, one of the few that's been allowed to every practice out there. And Dan Morgan, former UM linebacker, director of player personnel for the Bills.
Wow.
I tell you, he went out to Seattle and really got his career going when they hit the jackpot on all those great players they were getting and getting certain kind of players, and the league was kind of took notice. And so Dan Morgan has moved up the ladder real quickly. And I saw it. So up in Buffalo, when we play up there, our box is right next to the Buffalo Bills owner's box, with one of the few teams that doesn't block us out. All the glass wide open, so Dan Morgan was against the window, and I was against the window. So I literally, if there wasn't that window, we could have high-fived each other after every Buffalo Bill score, which was about every 5 minutes.
Right. Were you talking about Josh Allen? Is that what you're
talking
about?
Yeah, he just ran 80 yards again and 30, and he just threw one. Yep. Yeah, that whole thing. But Dan's done great, man. He's up there with the GM, assistant GM, and the owner. This the four of them up there, and so he has done really, really well. Had a really good career as a linebacker, one of the most decorated linebackers in the history of the University of Miami.
He swept the awards one year.
Can I just tell you something? I was thinking about this, and not to get away from the game. Of all the positions, the linebacking group that has been taken in the first round, almost every one of them have been really good. Like Pro Bowls, had long careers and been really, really good. All of them.
Hall of Famer.
John Beeson joined us, right. And I was thinking of John, who went up and just really played well. Even if it was cut a little short by injury or stuff, those guys at Pro Bowls and a lot of tackles and played at a high level. I'm not saying everybody played at the Ray Lewis level.
No, obviously. But you got one guy that's a Hall of Famer and is arguably the best to ever play that position. So that helps.
But, you know, I say that, and then I started looking around, and honestly, they haven't had a whole lot of bust in the first round at any position. They've had great success, first-round running backs.
Right. Offensive linemen.
D-linemen.
D-linemen.
All those D-linemen, right, for the most part. Not all of them, without sound like we're start cutting guys down. But they had a nice run, man, of guys, and recently haven't been first-rounders, but a lot of guys playing in the league right now. From the University of Miami. They like taking their players and trust them from what they've been able to do. And a lot of teams, Cleveland's one of the teams, has had a lot of UM guys on their roster. So anyway, we had something else crazy going on besides all the Miami Dolphins stuff last night and looking at all those, and we'll get back on those in a little while about who looked good last night and what the Miami Dolphins should do off of what you saw, considering everything. If you're playing GM today and considering who Ryan Fitzpatrick played against, who Josh Rosen played against, and by the way, they're all running for their life. Nobody got a hall pass last night to sit in a beautiful pocket. It was all there. Who would you start? And so we'll find out what everybody's 56022, if you have a thought, whether it's Ryan Fitzpatrick or Josh Rosen, and why, because I did think Josh took a big step up last night and made some really good throws, basically throws he probably didn't see because he was getting knocked down as he was making them, made a couple of nice runs to get a first down the corner, and listen, Ryan Fitzpatrick also had some good plays, There's just a big difference in age. Do you throw Josh in there now and why? Or do you wait? Do you wait and keep him hungry and let Ryan Fitzpatrick get that first game in there? So let us know what you're thinking this morning. But last night in Canada, boy, they were really prepared for the game. Raiders and Packers played on a Canadian Football League.
It was the Winnipeg field, I believe it was, yes.
80-yard field because the goalpost with the cement to keep it down and everything made it dangerous. So they played on an 80-yard field with no kickoffs last night. It was like a scrimmage. So both teams end up pulling a ton of guys. Well, the Raiders didn't even take a bunch of guys on the trip. Everybody treats the third game differently. It used to be kind of I thought it was a dress rehearsal for everybody. Now we're finding out, no, it's about having everybody healthy, even if they're a little rusty going in that opener. We know they're going to be lining up. They're going to be healthy enough. They're getting in practices and everything else.
I just like the fact that they weren't even taking guys on this trip. Like, this was guys didn't even make the trip north. Like, it's just amazing. And then once they got there and they saw what the conditions were like and you saw how many guys sat out that game, you just can't – I understand they're trying to broaden it out and put a game here or put a game there. But honestly
– they should have known about
that. Did no one check that field 3 days beforehand, 5 days beforehand, a week out?
They said they did because –
I mean, come on. They couldn't have.
It was embarrassing to the NFL. It really was with obviously, people are familiar. If you're not, the Canadian Football League is a lot wider, a lot longer. The end zone's about 2.5 miles. You can run around forever to get open. I mean, you could play a damn football game on the end zone
side
of Canadian
side,
football.
Right, that's right.
Thing is deep. It's wide. It's everything.
But why, Joe? Why do it in that stadium and not have it checked out? Like, I think they lied if they said they checked it out because if they both coaches knew – and both GMs knew or both owners knew what they were walking into, they would have said, no, we're not playing the game there.
Correct.
Like, they had 50 or 60 guys from both teams not even playing, not dressed, nothing, all starters in the game three, the dress rehearsal, the game that everyone's waiting to see. You know, come on. It's stupid. When you see stuff like that happen, it just makes me think the preseason is just worthless.
Well, it makes you just wonder, like, hey, NFL, you know, this kind of happened in Mexico, too, in the football game. Like, you need to know.
Huge Monday night game.
And like, make an adjustment, move it quickly, do something so you don't have egg on your face. With all the technology and communication stuff, you should know. There's no excuse, and they were trying to spin it like, yeah, it was fine. Like, what was fine? The goalpost was there, and that same problem was there before, and the area around it, and – trying to patch it down with stuff and playing on an 80-yard field. And the 10-yard line was a goal line. And
I mean, come on.
It was crazy. And all of a sudden Green Bay said, well, we're going to be keeping some guys out of this game. We're not losing anybody important in this game.
Did you say some guys? Because 33 out of the 90. One-third of the roster didn't play.
Was that – I think that was Oakland that didn't take – all their guys. Was it Oakland or Green?
Yeah, Oakland didn't take guys.
Yeah, they didn't take
the
guys.
The Packers just announced before the game 33 weren't playing.
No.
Because they expected the starters to play. Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, those guys were going to play in the game. Then they saw the conditions.
Said, no way.
No chance are we losing an Aaron Rodgers because the field conditions or a Devontae Adams or one of these guys. It was ridiculous.
All right. And then on top of that, I thought 13 last night, the Dolphins had an announcement that 13 guys didn't play last night. Some were healthy scratches and everything else. The weirdest part of the whole thing for me is four linebackers that I would have bet were all going to be on the team when this thing was all put together. Chase Allen, nice rookie free agent a couple years ago. Andrew Van Ginkel is going to be on the team, a fifth-round pick from Wisconsin. Raekwon McMillan, still a young linebacker, basically a second-year linebacker because he got injured so early in preseason, and Kiko Alonso. So your two leading tacklers last night haven't played. I mean, they've been out for a long time, basically allowing Jerome Baker and Aguavin to play nonstop. Sam Aguavin played on everything. He played on special teams last night and defensively. It's looking – I mean – those two are going to start.
They should.
They're going to start. I don't know what they're going to do with the other guys because if they keep all the other guys, unless they're going to use them in different packages, they're going to have to play special teams. Kiko, Raekwon, Chase Allen, Van Ginkel, All those guys are going to have to play. Linebackers and defensive backs make up a lot of those special teams. So I'm really curious to see what is going to happen at the linebacker position. Meanwhile, you know, all the other guys, the ones getting to play a ton. I mean, Nick DeLuke, every time I look up, 58's playing right now. Probably wouldn't have been playing all these snaps if everybody's healthy, but he's getting a chance to play a lot. So I do know they got to keep more linebackers, and some of these guys will be on the team. But, my God, man, you talk about guys who have been injured. And then the other thing is, last night, and again, it was a great opportunity for Preston Williams to really shine and had a chance on a few plays. Didn't make a very good adjustment on a deep throw. I mean, a NFL receiver's got to get back outside, and he's got to pick that ball up. Unless maybe he had Antonio Brown's helmet and he couldn't see or something.
It looked like he lost it on the TV view. It just looked like he lost the ball and then just thought it was going to drop in like a teardrop into his hands when he turned his head around. And the other play, I guess the one on the outside when it was third down, I don't know if it was a bad pass or he just wasn't ready for it. I don't know what to say there.
In his hands.
I don't know if we're going to try to give him the benefit of the doubt there.
There ain't no
but
benefit.
The deep ball downfield, it just looked like on TV that when he put his head up, he had no idea where the ball was and thought it was just going to drop right there.
Right. And it didn't, and there wasn't a lot of time to throw and everything else. But so he's had Devontae Parker's now been out. He's injured again. I don't know. I don't know what they do. Have they seen enough with Devontae saying just get healthy and get ready to go for the season? Kenny Stills seems to be by far the most durable guy. So you've got all those guys out there. Isaiah Ford had a nice catch last night. Gesicki finally had a couple of nice plays. The two biggest plays in the game belong to him.
The second round tight end
guy? Two of
the
biggest plays.
Oh, that guy. Okay. Wow.
A guy from Penn State.
Wow.
Oh, some of these decisions will be very interesting. Now, the problem is the drop-off. If you start going with a bunch of guys that you don't really know that well, haven't really shined. So it's tough. Do you just go out and keep guys? I just think we're going to have a record amount of guys we're going to pick up from other teams. I might be wrong, but four or five guys would not surprise me for us to pick up on this 53-man roster. Just would not surprise me. And then again, last night, while we're just going around on this whole lineup and stuff, Isaiah Prince, number 72, just another rough night, getting a chance to play. I know it's at the end of the game. They want to keep – everybody wants to keep their sixth-round pick develop.
You can't.
I think he'll be on the practice squad, and they won't give up on him. They'll spend that practice squad money on him to get him going.
But that's the best I would do with him right now. He looked bad last night. He looked bad. And this is not the first game he looked bad. That's the difference. It's not like he had one good game and one bad game. He has not had very many bright spots during training camp or any of these preseason games. It's kind of a waste of a pick at this point, it looks like, because he just doesn't look like an NFL-caliber guy out there.
We haven't had a lot of guys that have been put on the practice squad that have kind of developed on the offensive line. So I don't know. I think they're going to go with Tunsil will be back and ready to go. It looks like Laramie Tunsil talked about not playing a lot of football this preseason. They're going to keep him out. And I'm guessing Dieter, Kilgore, they got to make a decision now. To me, Shaq Calhoun's going to play right guard. And what do you do with Jesse Davis? Boy, he had a rough night at right guard. I mean, he had Josh Allen, by the way, is the best player in the friggin' game. What would that have been like if he played the whole game? 6'5", 262 pounds, out of Kentucky, and man, can he motor. And what a move he has getting around guys. That's they won't have a problem with a pass rush in Jacksonville.
Two guys, the veteran on one side and the rookie on the other, and they're both monsters out there.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Their front seven is pretty special, not to mention maybe the best bookends of cover corners. Boye and Ramsey as well. That's pretty good combination of guys out there. So anyway, this thing is going to be really, really interesting this week. Of course, nobody's going to play, as everybody knows. So we'll get going here on everything. I can't find the time right now. I was going to try to find out when now my thing. We don't have anything set up in here.
No, so
there you go. Yeah, I'm way over. I figured I was way over today. Yeah, trying to do everything here. Anyway, we've got a lot more stuff to get to here this morning. Larry Bluestein is going to join us. High school football last night. Palmetto, you're for real. And we'll jump into all these games. Could be the best first week of high school football here in South Florida I can ever remember. We'll talk to Bluestein about all the games, including three nationally televised games. We'll have that. Don Bailey Jr., Dan Morgan, Mike Florio. We got it all for you here this morning, so we'll have a lot of stuff coming up.
.560 The Joe presents the Riptide Music Festival, powered by Ford. Broward County's 2019 signature events coming to Fort Lauderdale Beach November 23rd and 24th. This year's event, headlined by multi-platinum recording artist The Killers, also the 1975, K-Flay, Fuel, Real Big Fish, Soul Asylum, and many more. A limited number of early bird two-day GA tickets on sale, WQM.com for $59. Also a limited number of two-day early bird VIP tickets, $99. They'll be on sale till Labor Day or until supplies last. It's Riptide Fest, powered by Ford. You can get all the details right here at WQAM.com.
All right, we got our Friday poll up. We don't do polls all the time, but after last night and Josh Rosen coming in and having a nice drive, and listen, both quarterbacks, it wasn't easy to look good last night with the play of the offensive line, in my opinion. So we put a poll up at Joe Rose Show. Ryan Fitzpatrick or Josh Rosen, if you want to join us, 56022, and you can let us know through a text or tweet us and let us know.
Got about 100 votes so far, Joe. After watching three preseason games, who should be the Dolphins' starting quarterback? Josh Rosen, 89% so far.
Yeah, not surprised.
Not surprising at all, right?
And you know, he makes that throw on the run and he had a guy open underneath, could have just got the first down with him, but he went with Isaiah Ford, who had two guys just trailing him. And, man, he dropped in with some air under it, made a nice, easy catch for a guy to just run and make the catch. Just a beautiful, beautiful play, and followed up with a nice run down the sideline to get the first down. So did some nice things. I thought he did get better last night and had a real good feel. His cadence was great. Got guys to jump off sides. So we'll see what – obviously, that's going to be between the offensive coordinator and Coach Flores is going to have to decide which way to go on that with Ryan Fitzpatrick or a young Josh Rosen, who – boy, I thought it was going to be a slam dunk. When Fitzpatrick started last night, I said, man, unless he gets injured, he's going to start. Usually guys that play in that game – those are the guys that are going to be playing a lot, except for some injured guys that are really good, and you know they're going to be back. But
Rosen closed the gap, though. He has moved forward for sure during training camp since being called out by the coach. You know, body language, this, that. He's making a jump for me that
I didn't notice.
Close.
The only thing I did notice, like Channing and I were cracking up about this, said, you see the body language? I said, man, I can't read body
language. No, I mean, come on.
I said, the difference, and I just go to the two Hall of Fame quarterbacks here who I've been around and played with both of them. I mean, Bob Greasy's an introvert, you know, studies and stuff.
Hall of Fame quarterback.
Bob ain't going out drinking beer with everybody.
No.
I mean, he does with us on Saturday night because we force him now.
Well, different story now.
But, you know, Bob, he's a lot different than Danny. Like, they couldn't be more different.
Yeah, both Hall of Famers.
You know, different places, but both really good at what they did, and, you know, whatever you want to say about supporting cast and all that stuff. So I just don't think quarterbacks are necessarily, by what you see, I don't know. Maybe people believe in all that body language and
maybe
run around and jump up and down. Coach, I don't do that. That's not my makeup. I mean, I don't have anybody in my family like that. Well, you need to be a fake.
Four texts just came into 56022, 56022. It's a Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. This month, all new Toyotas are at clearance prices with 0% APR financing for 75 months on select models. Here we go, last four, Joe. Rosen. Joe, with his first four playoff teams we start the season with and those defenses and how terrible our offensive line looked, I'd start Fitzpatrick. And then another one says, not even close, go with the kid. So three out of four said go with Rosen. One said, look at the first four. The games at the schedule – And the defense they're going to bring, and the offensive line right now, you start Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. By the way, and the other team that's got problems on the offensive line is Tampa Bay. They've got their own problems too. They're worried about that offense. I don't know how much better their offense is with that group of guys. And then they had a great defense last year, and they go out and get Josh Allen.
Right.
I mean, like, you're already really good on defense. And
they could have upgraded the offense with a player there. They could have found someone there. They took a guy that now goes opposite Calais. And Yannick's not even playing, one of their other defensive ends. He didn't play last night. They've got a really good front. They've got a really good middle linebacker. And they have two of the best corners in the game. That defense is going to be what brings them to the promised land or not. Because Nick Foles is Nick Foles. You know what you're going to get out of him. He's going to be a decent quarterback. But could Dede Westbrook be the number one guy for this? Like, is he that guy? I don't know. But that defense, it's going to win some games for them.
Yeah, they got, and you talk about different bodies. You got Calais Campbell on the outside at 6'8", 300 pounds.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, you got Josh Allen, who just looks like he's running 100 meters the way he comes out of those blocks, man, comes off that edge.
Well, he's 6'5", 240, and he looks like he's tiny compared to Calais, but I guess everyone does, stands next to Calais.
I think they had him at 6'5", 260, and right. It was a skinny 260. I mean, they're over. The veterans had their arm around him. They were, and having fun with the Jacksonville TV. Like, man, this cat can play. And I was talking to Tony Baselli last night. He goes, yeah, he's looks like a top 10 pick. I mean, that's what you want your first round pick to look like, where a guy shows up and you go, man, that guy is, we're all talking about who's going to be the great rookie and who's going to dominate. I haven't seen them all play, and I know we've got some other defensive ends, including Aboza, but it's hard to imagine anybody that can come off the corner like Josh Allen. That will be funny. I thought he was the best player in the game last night in the amount of time that he played in the first half. And hell, he went out in coverage on the running back last night, Kalen Ballage, and made a tackle after he caught it. And you're like, wow. This guy, he can get going on. I'll tell you a guy who helped himself last night that did it. We were talking about special teams and guys to get it done. Chris Lamonts out of Plantation High School just made some whopping, like just running down on a kickoff and the punt team as a flyer and just blowing guys up, man. And that's the kind of stuff you want to do. Just to get friggin' noticed and everything. I thought he really helped himself. But the rest of those cover corners that you have back there, I tell you, I hope Eric Groh takes care of himself, because last night there was a reason that he saw so many footballs thrown his way. Xavier had one on about a 3-yard hookup pattern on the outside, and that was about it. X-Man had
That's what's going to happen, right?
Had the night off. Yeah.
Every good offensive coordinator is going to look at this defense and say, if we're going to throw the ball, you don't throw it to the left side or right side, wherever Xavier is lined up. You're going to throw against Rowe. You're going to throw against everybody else. And they're going to pick on those guys. So,
yeah,
it's ridiculous. Yeah. And you saw it. You see in preseason games now.
Yeah, you do see it a lot more in preseason, not just – well, guys want to look good in the preseason, too. Like, I'm trying to make the team, and I'm over there, and Xavier in 12 games with 7 picks, or I go to the other side with Eric Rowe, who's been a part-time starter in the league, even though it's just, I don't know if you get more points or a more impressive resume if some of those starts are with the
New England?
New England Patriots. Yeah, maybe you get a little bit more.
Yeah.
But they got to find some more cover corners that you can put out there, and because whoever you put out there is just going to get picked on. And Minka looked pretty good last night. I think Omar will feel a little better about Minka running around the middle of the field where he feels comfortable. Nice, clean hit right under
unbelievable
the head there, right on the shoulder pads.
I had to see it in replay because I didn't know at first.
I thought
it was helmet to helmet. The way the guy dropped, it was a DD that dropped. The way he dropped to the floor, I thought it was a helmet to helmet and he was out cold. And then they show the replay. Minka couldn't have had a cleaner hit.
Yeah.
Shoulder to shoulder and just drilled that guy.
You still got to have that stuff, man. You still got to have those plays. Like, you can't. I know the area for defenders has gotten smaller. It really has. I mean, the area you can hit a guy now, you got to know. And when he catches it and he kind of covers himself up for the hit as he's coming across, you only got a small area. But, man, I'll tell you what, Minka's area was clean. That's where you got to go, and you got to stay away from the head. And they're calling everything. Every time you touch or push a quarterback, they're calling all that stuff. So you can't do a lot of that stuff anymore. Anyway, We got to go to break. 7 o'clock hour coming up. We're going to be checking in. Yeah, big night. Maybe the biggest night ever in high school football this weekend. First week of high school football. This is the first time I can remember three teams playing, actually four teams because two of the teams playing each other, are going to be on one team on ESPN, two teams on ESPNU right off the bat.
Unbelievable.
It is. It really is. A lot of high school football to go with that Miami-Florida game this weekend. So you'll see all the top teams in the country, and you'll get to see some really good high school football teams. Larry Bluestein will break it all down for us coming up in this 7 o'clock hour.